From the CPR Newsroom, I'm Don DeBar with some news headlines.
I'd like to take this opportunity to commend the commitment, engagement, and leadership of all the heads of state and government, ministers, and negotiators, and many members of delegation who have brought us so far in these very difficult negotiations.
That was the Secretary General of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon, at the closing of the COP21 in Paris this past Saturday, after an agreement that he called, quote, a monumental triumph for people and planet, close quote, was reached. The agreement aims to cap the rise in global temperature to below 2 degrees Celsius. That agreement is the product of 2 weeks of negotiations among representatives of the 196 members of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. Cristina Silveiro was in Paris and filed this report.
To the sound of impassioned applause and a room-wide standing ovation, the Paris Agreement on Climate Change was adopted on Saturday at COP21 by the parties to the UN Convention on Climate Change. Soon after its adoption, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon told delegates they had made history and had entered a new era of global cooperation on one of the most complex issues ever to confront humanity. The UN chief said negotiators reached solid results on all key points with an agreement that demonstrates solidarity.
All countries have agreed to hold global temperature rise to well below 2 degrees Celsius, and recognizing the risk of grave consequences, you have further agreed to pursue efforts to limit temperature increase to 1.5 degrees. You have listened to the voices of the most vulnerable and recognized the importance of minimizing and addressing loss and damage. This is especially important for the nations of Africa, small island developing states, and least developed countries.
Highlighting the role of the private sector, the UN chief said business leaders came to Paris in unprecedented numbers. He added that with the agreement, markets now have the clear signal they need to unleash the full force of human ingenuity and scale up investments that will generate low emissions and resilient growth. Cristina Silveiro, United Nations, reporting from COP21 in Paris.
The new Cold War between NATO and Russia is beginning to look more and more like a hot war. Less than 3 weeks after NATO member Turkey shot down a Russian plane over Syria using a pair of American-made F-16s, a Russian destroyer Sunday fired warning shots at a Turkish fishing vessel, which was sailing on a collision course towards them, after it failed to respond to calls from the warship. CCTV's Natalie Carney filed this report from Istanbul.
Right now, all the information we are being provided with is from the Russian Defense Ministry, who basically said that their destroyer, the Smitlivy, was anchored just off the Greek island of Lemnos, and the Turkish fishing boat came within 500 meters of it. And they say despite numerous attempts by the crew, the Turkish fishing boat did not make radio contact and did not respond to visual signals by the Smitlivy. So they were then forced to ignite a small arms fire, basically, to set off small arms fire at the direction of the Turkish vessel in a range that they say was not lethal, but to warn it to avoid any collision. And we have not heard any comment from the Turkish government, but on Friday, Turkey's Foreign Minister Mevlut Cavusoglu did warn that Ankara's patience with Russia was not unlimited and did accuse Moscow of using every opportunity to punish Turkey for the downing of their plane over what Turkey says was Turkish airspace in late November. Since then, the two sides have been going head-to-head. There's been a lot of accusation from Moscow against Ankara and vice versa. So this is just another incident in an increasing list of disagreements between both sides.
That incident was followed hours later by another encounter between Russian warships and a Turkish vessel, this one involving an intervention by a Russian missile cruiser and Coast Guard powerboat after a merchant vessel flying the Turkish flag hampered a Russian convoy transporting two drill platforms to a new location in Russian territorial waters near Crimea. While the two rigs were being moved to their new location, the vessel flying the Turkish flag crossed the convoy's path, acting, according to the owner of the rigs, quote, in violation of regulations for preventing collision and against the generally accepted conventions of navigation, closed quote. That owner, Chernomor Neftegaz, said in a statement that the captain of the Turkish vessel operated radio silence despite requests to respond. Iraqi top officials and lawmakers convened at the country's parliament to discuss the Turkish deployment of troops to Iraq. Following that meeting, Iraq's foreign minister, Ibrahim al-Jarfari, reiterated Baghdad's commitment to resolving the issue through diplomatic means. The country's top official, however, warned that other means could be used if violation of Iraq's sovereignty continues. Press TV's Altaf Ahmad filed this report from Baghdad.
Iraq's territorial integrity at stake. That's the warning issued by top Iraqi officials after convening at the parliament to discuss Turkey's invasion of Iraqi soil. In a presser held at the parliament, Foreign Minister Ibrahim al-Jafari has reiterated that the country will not allow, quote, any violation of its sovereignty.
For us, the sovereignty of Iraq is a red line. We have the liberty of allowing advisors into Iraq, but we cannot accept the incursion of foreign armed troops and the establishment of foreign military bases on Iraqi territory.
For now, the central government has received a green light to take all necessary measures in response to the Turkish act. It remains to be seen what Baghdad's next move will be. Altaf Ahmad, Press TV, Baghdad.
From the CPR Newsroom, I'm Don DeBar.